Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to everyone's absolute bestest, favoriteest show about plastic surgery, health, and beauty. This is Nip Talk. We got some really interesting segments today. First off, Rihanna's plastic surgery wish list. We're going to go over that. And then the five worst plastic surgery consults that I hate to get. And then finally, there's a new product out there that says that it might be a Botox killer. What? We're going to talk about it, and it's all coming up right now.
Live from Lincoln Center in the heart of the Dallas Metroplex, this is Nip Talk. An honest and uncensored show about plastic surgery, health, beauty, and lifestyle. With your host, plastic surgeon Dr. Bruce Herman, and your co-host, entrepreneur and social media influencer Sarah Bennett. Now it's time to discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly of the topics everyone is talking about. It's time for Nip Talk.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Please hit that like and subscribe button. It helps us a ton. I'm your host, plastic surgeon Dr. Bruce Herman. With me, as always, is the wonderful Sarah.
Hi.
How are you, Sarah?
Good.
Happy Friday. In the box, we got Trovis back.
Hey.
Welcome back, dude. You okay? I heard you were in a little fender bender. You're obviously okay, right?
I am. I'm okay.
Good.
My car, not so much.
Oh, your car? Is it total, do you think?
No, it's not total. It's it's like parts of it is hanging where it shouldn't
be
hanging.
Oh, no. That's not good.
But I'm getting it fixed tomorrow.
Car's going to get some plastic surgery?
Yeah, absolutely. It desperately needed.
Well, I'm really glad you're okay, man. They told me you were okay, that you were in a little bit of a fender bender last. We missed you last week. Your stand-in did fine, but we missed you.
I missed all the good info from the show.
Learning.
You'll have to watch it. If you watch it, make sure you like and subscribe.
I got you.
Okay, guys, did you guys go see the eclipse?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you go to the total zone?
No.
You didn't?
But live, it was like, it did exactly what it was supposed to do.
Wait, so you saw like the black moon? So you had to be in the total then.
I was in Aubrey.
I don't think you were in the total.
But I saw like the whole world looked like it went dark.
Okay. But did you see like the black in the ring?
Maybe. I saw whatever something I could see with the glasses.
With the glasses. What about you, Travis? Did you go see the eclipse?
I did not. I was here, and I was setting up for a different show.
Oh, right. Yeah, because it's Monday. Yeah.
Darn.
So
I know it.
I was really kind of worried because I had surgery that morning, and it was one of those surgeries where if it, like, everything went perfectly, I was going to get out in plenty of time, but sometimes those ones are harder. Anyway, so it actually went perfectly, and I had time to go and grab my daughter. I actually took her out of school because her school was not in the totality zone. So I picked her up, and then we went over to my mom's house. She lives in Louisville, which was, like, in the total zone. And then, of course, you know, it was cloudy on Monday. But like we had like an absolute perfect luck, like the clouds broke like right at the right time. And it was so cool because my mom had never seen a total eclipse. My daughter had, but she was like 5 and she didn't remember it.
Uh-huh.
So like they got to see it, and like it was really cool. Like I wanted them to get to see it because I just was a really cool experience for me when I saw it like 6 years or 7 years ago.
Yeah, so. I really enjoyed it. But I mean, I noticed that it got cooler outside.
Yeah.
The crickets came out.
Yeah.
We could
see stars where we were at.
When it gets
total covered, like it's a whole like another level of darkness. Like it's pretty wild. And like you can see stars, and man, it was crazy.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really fun. And honestly, I was really worried that traffic was going to be a nightmare that day. I didn't really notice any eclipse traffic.
I think a lot of people stayed home. I think like the eclipse traffic was like super light, just because a lot of people didn't want to like get out, I guess.
I'll tell you, when I did the one in 2017 and we drove up to Wyoming, it was a madhouse trying to get into Wyoming to get to it. And then getting out was even worse.
Like, well, I mean, it's like you were still in the DFW Metroplex. So it's like there's still traffic here no matter what. So
well, and we have such big roads, too.
Yeah,
I mean, out in Wyoming, it's like 2-lane roads.
Yeah,
so,
it was made for.
It's made for the eclipse.
Yeah.
So the next one in America is not for 20 years.
Yeah, and it's going to be like in South Dakota or something.
Oh, is it? I didn't see
like
where it was.
Up in Canada.
Honestly, I really, really think they're cool. I probably will travel to it if I'm not dead at that point. I think I'll probably still be kicking.
No.
You definitely will.
So, yeah, anyway, well, it was pretty neat. So I hope you guys out there in the interwebs got to see it because it was pretty cool.
It's cool.
So, All right, well, let's jump into some segments. Rihanna, who actually I'm a really big fan of, I really want to see Rihanna live. I've never seen her perform.
Yeah.
Was in the news this past week. Did you see it?
No.
You guys, oh, I figured you would have seen this. It was like the last couple days ago. So she went on Interview Magazine.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Interview Magazine? I wasn't either. Apparently it's a pretty well-known publication. And she was being interviewed by somebody that was an old friend of hers, and she kind of opened up about her plastic surgery wants. So we're going to talk about plastic surgery that Rihanna wants, and it kind of ties into a segment that's breast lift versus breast implants.
Okay.
Because this is what Rihanna said. So she was talking about plastic surgery. She said, I want my boobs pinned back to my shoulders right where they used to be.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I don't want implants. I just want a lift. And, you know, she's had two kids. Her kids are pretty young. I think they're like 1 and 2 or somewhere in that ballpark. And so, you know, I mean, Rihanna's just like, you know, any other woman. I mean, yes, she's a superstar, but I mean, just like any other woman who's had kids, you know, she's basically making commentary about how her body has changed with pregnancy. And I really like the thing that she said about, I don't want implants, I just want to lift, because that's really, really educated thing to say that a lot of people don't know that. And so I wanted to dig into that a little bit. And she talked about some other things. She's like, well, you know, I kind of thought about a tummy tuck, but I don't want to go through that big surgery. And then she's like, BBL, not really. I can just work out.
I feel like she already has the goods for that.
Yeah, she's like good to go. but no, she wants a breast lift. And that's super, super common for women to want to improve the shape of their breast after pregnancy. And so the big question is, you know, how do you restore your pre-pregnancy breast? Or sometimes people will say, I want my pregnancy breast.
Okay.
And so, you know, for the person that's not very well educated in plastic surgery, a lot of them really feel like, oh, I have to get implants, I have to get implants. Mm-hmm. And I do think, unfortunately, there are a lot of women who, you know, they get that idea in their heads, like, I want to restore the fullness I had, I need implants, and they go to a surgeon and they say, I want implants, and they don't take the time to really dig into, is that really what they
what
want?
They want. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that happens to me all the time where we get consults for things and the person comes in wanting something, and then when I start to talk to them, I figure out, okay, they just want a result, but they don't know how to get it. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of one of those, I think, classic cases of that. You know, as you know, pregnancy affects breast size, shape, and position, or it can, it doesn't always. I mean, some people are just naturally genetically less predisposed to have those changes.
Right.
You know, a lot of it weighs down to how much weight people gain and lose in pregnancy and how fast they gain it. You know, do they have a history of sun exposure where their skin's more vulnerable to stretching and all that?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But getting the right surgery kind of depends on, you know, what your starting point is and what your goals are. Mm-hmm. And so you can kind of like think about implants and lifts as doing some of the same stuff, but also different stuff. So the way I would describe implants is they, and this is for people who have had kids specifically.
Okay.
I mean, they restore volume and they restore fullness. And that's basically what they do. A breast lift can restore volume and fullness if they have the breast tissue, but it also reshapes the breast.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's like, okay, well, great, thanks for telling me that. How do I know, you know, what I want? And ideally, like, if you go and you have a consult, you know, with a plastic surgeon, they should go over all this stuff with you. But I mean, everybody runs their practices different. And sometimes, you know, you go in and you end up talking to the nurse about it, and they may not go as much detail. Have you had that experience where you went to the, I know you've been to plastic surgeon before, you've been open about it, so I'm not putting a stop, but when you went there, like, was it like the nurse that went over the stuff with you, or?
I'm sure she did, but I mostly remember just talking to the doctor.
Okay, so the doctor took the time, and you feel like they explained everything to you? Good.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, that's the way it should be. I mean, if you're gonna go through surgery, you know, you really want that person that's the expert explaining
right.
it to you. So I guess, you know, one of the ways you kind of figure out, do I want implants or do I want a lift is, you know, you ask yourself this question, are you happy with the shape of your breasts after pregnancy? You know, and if the answer is no, then implants are probably not the right answer for you. Because the implants don't really affect the shape to any significant degree.
Okay.
They restore fullness, you know, and they restore volume, but it doesn't make a huge change to the shape. I mean, to be 100% accurate, it makes a slight difference to the shape, but mostly it's about the volume. And then the next question you ask is, you know, are you happy with the size of your breast? And when you ask yourself that about the size, it can be hard for people who have significant, you know, sag to their breast after pregnancy to really know, okay, how much volume do I have? So like when I'm measuring volume, like I'll actually take the breast and set it up where it belongs and say, okay, if your breast was lifted like this and it was, you know, this big, are you happy with that size? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I dig into, you know, what exactly is the patient wanting to get? Because, I mean, it doesn't matter what procedure they get as long as they get the result they want. But so many women, you know, will go in to a plastic surgeon and they come out and they don't get what they want. I mean, you guys have had friends that have ever had that happen to them where they went in to get plastic surgery and they come out and they said, I didn't get what I want?
Well, I mean, I think I sent one of my friends to but yeah.
So, so the answer for you is for sure. Yeah. Do you ever see that trail? I guess, I don't know, people may not be as open to you being a guy about plastic surgery.
Yeah, facts. No, I've not run into that issue.
Yeah.
I've not run into that one.
I mean, for me, it's like people always want to talk about plastic surgery. I mean, so I hear these stuff even as a guy, but I can understand. And then, you know, as far as the other question I ask is the fullness of your breasts. Like, if you're just wanting to restore fullness, I mean, you could potentially go either route if you have the volume of breast tissue. You know, if you have the volume and it's just not in the right place, then all you really need to do is a lift. And you know, I do a lot of lifts where I feel like they look like I have implants. And I almost never do this, but I brought some pictures of some of the stuff that I've done. Mm-hmm. And we're going to take
a look. Have you ever done lift and implant?
Yes. Yeah. And so that's the other thing. And that's a great question. Yes, you do that.
Okay.
That's for somebody, and I'll go through it. So there's three ways you can go. You can do implants, you can do lift, and you can do a lift and implants, as you said. So the person who would go after a lift and implants is somebody who, number one, doesn't like the shape of their breast because there's too much hang to it or too much sagging. And number two, their breasts are too small. Mm-hmm. And so that's where you would say, okay, we're all in one surgery. We're going to lift the breasts up. We're going to make the shape nice. And then we're going to put an implant in there to kind of make the volume be what you want. And so you can totally do that. You know, it's always preferable if you can get the result that you want with like a single surgery versus two, even though it's done at the same time, just cost wise. And, you know, doing two surgeries carries a little bit more risk than one, although they're very, very safe. For if the person that's going to get implants, is whenever they have a good shape to the breast, but they just want to increase size and fullness. So they look in the mirror and they say, okay, you know, I like the way that my breasts look, like the shape looks fine. I just want them to be fuller. I want them to be bigger than implants. And then in Rihanna's case, I suspect based on what she said, for the person that wants a lift, it's when the shape and the sagging is bad. It's not what they want, but overall they're happy with the size. Mm-hmm. And so that's how you kind of break down the post-pregnancy breast changes to kind of determine, okay, do I really want an implant or do I want a lift or do I need both?
Yeah, so I feel like whenever I think of a lift, I think of like, okay, so I just want mine to go back to how they were before.
Yes.
But when you want implants, it's like, I just want them completely different.
I want them different, yeah.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I would add to that is there are plenty of people that pregnancy ends up changing the volume of the breasts. I mean, I've seen people come in and say, hey, my breasts now are smaller, my breasts now are larger, whether or not they're saggy or not saggy. But ideally, they stay the same size. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you just have to decide if you want to lift them or not.
Yeah.
Also, too, and the last thing I want to throw out there for anyone who's thinking about having a lift, absolutely 100%, you need to find a surgeon that does a short scar lift. There are two ways lifts are done these days. And the short scar is absolutely the better way. I can do both of them, and I only do short scars anymore.
I saw a TikTok video of a plastic surgeon literally yesterday talking about lifts.
Oh, yeah?
He was talking about, like, a mesh lift.
Oh, yeah. So mesh,
and
like,
he said that he was, like, he was all about it.
Yeah.
It looked like a little hammock.
Right. So there are people using mesh. I'm not a big fan of the mesh because, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about results. And I can get, and I'll show you some of mine in just a minute, really good lift results without using mesh. It's like, why use the mesh? I mean, most of those meshes are absorbable, so it's not like,
he said it dissolves and then it helps you produce collagen or something like that.
I mean, there's a little bit of truth to that, but like, you know, the thing is the meshes are expensive. I mean, you're adding a lot of cost to the surgery, you're adding surgery time, and you're adding risks. I mean, those meshes are safe, and I do use them for certain breast surgeries, but I only use them when I have to. And like I said, I've been doing these lists forever, and well, I mean, you guys could be adjusted. All right, so we're gonna look at pictures here. All right, so this is a lift, and you know, when you look at the after picture on the right, I mean, if you just show me that picture, I'd be like, oh, that person had implants. But they didn't. I mean, I just literally just their own tissue that I've, because it was so like sagging down, when you take it and you actually compact it up on the breast and suture it into place, and then you reshape the skin over it, I mean, it looks like she has breast implants.
Pretty wild.
Yeah. I think I took a little bit off that, her right side. I think that was like a lift on one side and a reduction. But a lift and a reduction are basically the same operation. So, all right, go flip forward. Yeah, here's another one. You know, pretty standard look of somebody who's had a couple kids, breasts are starting to head a little bit south, nipples are low to the breast. And then you just take their breast tissue, you know, you open it up, you take off the skin that you don't want, you put it where it belongs, reshape the skin. And once again, you know, to me, that's the look of somebody that has implants. They have that really good upper pole fullness. All right. Yeah, another one. I mean, basically the same thing. You know, a little bit difference in one side or the other, which is really common. So the lift lets you kind of even things out. Once again, nice, good fullness. Overall looking good. Flip through the next one there, Trey. Yep, same thing here. You know, this patient had a little less volume than maybe would be ideal. If she had a little bit more volume, you get a little more oomph to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, she didn't. She just wanted to take what she had and lift it up. And you know, that also might be mistaken for, you know, having, you know, small implants in there. Because it looks full.
It does, yeah.
I think there's one more. Yeah, there's another one. Yeah, big change there. I think I reduced one side just a tiny bit. But for the most part, this is just a straight up lift. But you can see, like, you can just accomplish so much with a lift. If you do a lot of these and you get really skilled with them, like, you can take someone's own natural tissue and give them that really desirable almost implant look.
Yeah. It's crazy how sagging breasts can make age you.
Oh, right. Yeah, absolutely. Because most people associate that with, you know, being aged.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people get really self-conscious about it, which, I mean, I totally get. I mean, we're all overly self-conscious about ourselves. But,
definitely,
you know, people oftentimes come in, you know, that want a lift and say, you know, oh, I'm just so self-conscious about this. Like, yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, you know, it's pregnancy changes your body. And unfortunately, it changes it in ways that you can't do anything about it yourself.
Yeah.
So, you know, why this is so popular. Go ahead. Sorry, Trey.
One question I have. I was talking to a friend of mine, I think maybe like last week or so.
Okay.
And they were saying that they have something like, it was like beads, I guess. Is that a thing?
Beads?
Yeah.
Some sort of beads in the breast?
Yeah, in the breast.
I'm not familiar, but I'll look it up.
Okay.
Do you know what they were made of? Or?
I don't know what they were made of.
All right. I'll do some digging. If you know any more about it, text me. I'll look it up.
I will do.
I haven't heard of that. That's something
new.
Yeah,
I'm confused.
I will do. I will do.
Have you heard of it?
No.
Beats? No. All right. Yeah, let me know, Trey, if you find anything.
I will do more research.
All right.
I got you.
All right. So today, in summary, what we were talking about today on Nip Talk is we were talking about Rihanna's plastic surgery wishes. And she said she really wants to have a breast lift and she does not want to have implants. And that's a really common thing for women after pregnancy to want to restore the normal shape of their breasts. And one of the things I was talking about today is implants are not always the best way to do that. You consider an implant as a way to increase the size or fullness of the breast, but it doesn't change the shape. Whereas a breast lift can not only change the shape of the breast and make it nice looking, but also restore that fullness and also give you an implant type look. So we looked at some pictures today of people who've had breast lift that look like they have implants. If you want to check that out, check out the full segment and let us know what you think. So, cool. All right. Rihanna. I really do want to see Rihanna in concert.
Has anyone seen her? Fun watching her on the Super Bowl thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when she was announced her pregnancy.
She's so stylish, too, you know.
Yeah.
Like, she always, like, has, like, super great outfits.
I feel like she puts on an entertaining show.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. She's a big-time entertainer.
Yeah.
Okay, let's gonna move on to like what I thought might be interesting. Because the other day I got a consult. I was like, oh man, a consult, you know what that means, right? Somebody calls me and say, hey, we got a patient. So I was thinking what would be an interesting segment is talk about the worst plastic surgery consults.
Yeah.
So these are the plastic surgery consults that when you get it, have you seen that picture float around the internet? From isn't that this Grey's Anatomy girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Despair.
So these are the plastic surgery consults that you never like to get. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because obviously we want to take care of patients. But there are some that are just hard.
Yeah.
Like, they're difficult cases, you know, maybe more prone to have problems. So you guys probably would know some of these. I don't know, maybe. I know we talked about this first one. So one of the ones that is definitely super challenging for plastic surgeons and can be very difficult is necrotizing fasciitis.
Yes.
Also known as the flesh-eating bacteria. And we've done a segment on that. You know, that's, well, first off, it's very hard on the patients. It carries a 50% mortality rate.
Yeah.
People that survive have these massive, massive wounds, because in order to save the life of the patient with the flesh-eating bacteria, you have to literally cut away their flesh. Like, you have to cut out the infection.
Ugh.
And you have to, like, get ahead of it, and it spreads very rapidly. So oftentimes these people, you know, that get this necrotizing fasciitis, in order to get them to survive, they end up with just these huge wounds. I mean, just massive.
And then they're in the hospital for
forever. A long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times I'll get consulted kind of in the middle. They'll say, oh, we have somebody with necrotizing fasciitis. You know, we've debrided them once. You know, we think we're ahead of the infection. Can you come in? And so, yeah, those can be a long road, and it's one of those things where there's really no right one answer. I mean, you may do one thing for one patient and do something completely different for the other. I've treated a lot of them over the years, and you know, I say that they're the worst consults. I mean, I do enjoy getting those people well,
mm-hmm.
but it's always generally a long road for them.
Yeah, uphill.
Yeah, it's definitely a tougher thing to do, and I had one lady that...
How do people usually get it?
So it's kind of random. I mean, you know, people get random infections all the time, and so when people get infections that get down into that tissue plane along the fascia of the muscle, so like the layers of your body are like your skin, your fat, and then it's the muscle, but there's a layer of fascia on the muscle. And so that avascular layer is a place where bacteria can potentially spread very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so people get an infection and they either don't get it treated, or it just moves very quickly, and they start to get an overgrowth of bacteria along that fascia, and then it starts to basically kill the tissue. And it moves very, very fast. And it's kind of scary, because you can just get it. I mean, you know, we have bacteria all over us, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it could be something as simple as, like, I bump my hand and I get like a small crack in my skin, and the bacteria get in, and for whatever reason, my body doesn't take care of it, and then the bacteria get out of hand.
Well, one time I scratched my leg on like one of those like thinner things at a Walmart.
Oh man, at Walmart? Dude, I would have chopped my leg off.
No, I still have a scar. I have a huge scar on my leg from it.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You know, I can fix that for you.
Okay.
I mean, if it's a bad scar, we can fix it.
It's pretty dark. I'll show you. It's on my leg. It's right there.
Yeah. I mean, if it's bad, it's something you can fix. But I don't know, man.
Scars all over
I would be I would be very worried if I got injured at a Walmart. I just feel like the bacteria.
I didn't think anything of it. Like, it was like, you know, one of those what are those things that they, like a crate. It was like the wood.
Oh, like a pallet?
Yeah.
Oh,
and it scratched my leg.
A Walmart pallet scratched your leg.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Everybody's like, that looks gross, Sarah. You need to get that checked out.
Did you get a tetanus shot?
No. I was just like, I'll put some antibiotic ointment on it and be good.
Next time you get hurt, call me. Do we know each other then?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. Next time. All right. Moving on. So that's definitely one of the harder plastic surgery consults. You know, definitely when you get a bad necrotizing fasciitis, you're like, oh, man, I'm in for a journey.
But for the most part, if you're like, don't put yourself in like nasty, dirty situations.
And that's the thing about necrotizing fasciitis.
Clean, for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely helps. Having good hygiene and taking care of wounds decreases your risk, but okay. I've seen people get it and they
are just like a normal person.
Yeah, they seem like a normal person.
That's not up to no good.
You know, I will tell you that people that are heavier are more at risk, and diabetics are more at risk.
Okay.
So there are some risk factors for it, for sure.
Okay.
Okay. One of the other consults that really, really is not only just very difficult but very sad is we get consults for gunshot wounds to the face from failed suicide attempts.
Oh.
And so the most common way that that'll happen is like people will like put the gun like this and tilt their head up. And so when they tilt their head up and they shoot, like the bullet just destroys their face, mm-hmm. but it doesn't like hit their brain. Mm-hmm. And so they survive it, but their face is just demolished.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I can clearly remember several patients that I took care of that that happened. And it is, I mean, aside from being just horribly tragic, it's so, so difficult because, you know, the structures of the face are very complex. You have, you know, bone, muscle, fascia, fat, skin, cartilage.
Yeah, cartilage. That's what
and so it. When that stuff gets destroyed, I mean, you can sometimes put it back together, but it just is so complicated because you're having to oftentimes rebuild bone. You might have big areas of empty space that you have to fill. And of course, at the same time, you're, you know, trying to restore this to some sort of normal looking appearance. And I haven't treated one recently. There just was one in the hospital. I was talking to one of the other plastic surgeons in town because he was telling me about it. I haven't treated one recently, but man, I remember treating those back when I worked in the really big centers, and man, they are tough and definitely a consult that I prefer not to get.
Yeah.
This is one I do still get from time to time. Have you ever talked about spaghetti wrists?
No.
Okay.
No.
You have any idea what spaghetti wrist is?
No.
So this is also often from failed suicide attempts. So it's where somebody takes a knife and they cut their wrist across like that. And the reason they call it spaghetti wrist is because there are a lot of structures that run through the wrist that are cord-like, and when they get cut, it ends up looking like a mass of wires, because you got
that is
like,
vivid.
You got like 12 tendons that run through the wrist, because you got three that flex the wrist, you got eight that run the fingers, you got some that do the thumb,
the nerves.
Right, and then there's the nerves, right? There's three major nerve branches that run through the wrist, and then you got two major blood vessels. And so, you know, I've seen people get 99% of it cutting, and you're looking in there, it's just everything's just all scattered, right? Because once they get cut, they don't just perfectly line up. They're all doing, and that's why they call it spaghetti wrist. And so you have to sit there and basically re-piece everything back together. And it's very, very tedious because sewing blood vessels, sewing nerves. I mean, it's, you know, for us to do that kind of thing is totally doable, but it's not fun. I mean, I personally don't find it fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's very tedious. And then, you know, you have to make sure everything lines up and then make sure the blood's flowing. And then it's just sad, right? Because another patient, you know, harming themselves. Those always kind of bum me out, to be honest. I get those from time to time still. In fact, I had two consults for self-inflicted wrist injuries in the past month, but fortunately, neither one of them very bad. Yeah. A lot of times when people start to cut, they get second thoughts and they don't get very far. All right, moving on. Neglected skin cancers. Oh, these ones can be rough. Have I ever brought any pictures in or cases from?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
Maybe
so,
not neglected, but I think you did bring in pictures of like melanoma.
Okay, melanoma. Yeah, we talked about melanoma. Yeah. Usually the neglected skin cancers are squamous cell, and just really briefly, not to get too boring with different types of cancers, melanoma can kill you very quickly. So generally, melanomas don't get really bad at the site, because once they get to a certain size, they spread, and then you have much worse problems. But squamous cell carcinoma, which is a very common type skin cancer, is very, very slow to spread throughout your body. Mm-hmm. But it is very destructive locally. And they can oftentimes be fast growing. So what happens is you see this in people that oftentimes live in rural areas. They don't like to go to the doctor, and they get this growth and they just ignore it. And it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And the problem is these things will grow right into bone. And at that point, when the cancer gets in the bone, things get really complicated because you have to remove that. And so I've seen some really bad ones. I was treating this guy for years that had one on his back, and it got into his shoulder blade. And we actually had to cut out part of his scapula, which is the shoulder blade. And he had just a massive wound back there. So we had to not only cut the bone, but then bring in muscle.
I think you showed us that.
Oh, did we? Okay.
Because, but it wasn't about... it wasn't like a subject of cancer. It was the subject of like
reconstruction or something.
Yes.
Oh,
it was how you moved muscles to different areas.
Right. Very good. Yeah. Very good. And then I've seen a couple, where it's on the face, and those are really hard because then it gets into the skull. And I actually had to send somebody down to UC Southwestern recently because they had one on their skull, and I'm like, look, I'm not taking your skull off. I mean, technically I could do that, but I'm out because we don't have neurosurgery on call and all that. So yeah, those neglected skin cancers can be rough. And then the final one. So this is what we call tib-fib. So this is your tibia, this bone, your shin bone, and then there's the fibula behind it. And when people get really bad lower extremity injuries, it oftentimes tears up the skin and the muscle, and the bone is basically right under your skin. And so when people get really bad tib-fib injuries, it can be very challenging to get them clean, and orthopedics has to come in and try to fix the bone. And then we get called to try and cover everything up. Well, the problem with that location is there's not a lot of tissue down there that you can move around.
Yeah.
You know, there are a couple muscle flaps you can do, but most of the time you have to do what's called a free flap, where you go and you take muscle from one area and put it down there. And then, you know, it's the location is bad because the blood flow in the lower extremities is way worse than it is, you know, closer to your trunk and your heart. And so they're more prone to problems. And I just have never been a fan of those. It's just too much work.
Yeah.
I mean, everything doesn't have to be hard. But yeah, that's a rough one. So I don't know. I guess any other things you
those
can think
all
of?
Sound horrible.
Yeah, they are pretty rough. Yeah. I guess I could have brought some pictures in. I actually don't. The thing about this, I don't always have like permission to use pictures. You know, you have to get permission.
Well, you gave some pretty graphic descriptions.
Oh, you have like a picture in your mind?
Yes, I do.
But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You know, it's like with being plastic surgeons, we get some pretty wild consults, mostly for trying to fix big problems or big, you know, tissue loss.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be pretty interesting stuff, but some of them are hard. I mean, you know, there's sometimes you get calls, you're like, oh man, this patient's going to be with me forever.
Yeah.
It's going to take a long time to fix. Cosmetic stuff's much easier.
I'm surprised you didn't say anything about like burn victims or something.
Yeah, I guess burns, they are challenging. I always liked burn surgery though.
It kind of reminds me of that, like the necrotizing thing that
similar.
You're talking about.
Yeah, they get really,
really
sick.
Except you don't have to like, because you can get infections really easily with that.
Totally.
So it's like, it's hard.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always found treating burns to be satisfying. Really, really bad burns. So like a total burn, like a 90% burn. I mean, that does suck because those patients get super, super sick. And nowadays I wouldn't be treating their critical care stuff. I would just be treating the burn. In the old days when I was in general trauma surgery, we'd have to actually treat the burn and treat the patient with their, you know, the critical care stuff. Nowadays, I would just be treating the burn, which is not too bad. I kind of like skin grafting. To me, it's kind of satisfying. So yeah, I didn't even think about that one because I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of like doing burns. Well, I kind of miss it.
It doesn't need to be on the list.
I only do like really easy burns these days because there's no burn unit in any of the hospitals I work at. I actually talked to one of the hospitals, like, hey, you guys ever thought about having a burn unit? And they were like, no. Okay. Like, all right, never mind then. All right. Well, let me know what you think. If you have another thought about what might be a bad plastic surgery, leave us a comment and I'll tell you what I think about it. But to me, those are some of the worst ones. So, all right. Everybody knows about Botox, right?
Yeah.
So, new product out. In fact, I want to thank Michaela, who is a scrub tech at the hospital, or actually the surgery center I work at, because she actually put me onto this. I'd never even heard of this. So, thank you, Michaela, if you're watching. She sent me a link to a new product called Daxxify.
Okay.
Daxxify. Supposed to be the next Botox killer. Yeah, there it is. Daxxify versus Botox in the ring.
Fancy.
So, Botox is far and away the industry leader in wrinkle reduction. Sarah, how do you like your Botox now? You've had it for a while.
It's good.
Your forehead looks amazing.
Thank you.
Looks very youthful. And I always say that Botox is like really low-hanging fruit for people that want to stay looking young.
Yes.
I probably should start doing it myself. Travis, maybe you and I can start Botoxing together. What do you think, buddy? Okay. You're younger than me, though. You probably don't need it yet.
I'll get more information from you, and then we'll see.
And we'll talk about it. Yes. Okay, all right, man. We'll see. So with Botox being the industry leader and being so, so successful, we now have a bunch of competitors.
Right.
And I think we even did a segment on the Botox competitors. There's Dysport, Xeomin, Jeuveau. There's one called Myoblock, which I wasn't familiar with. And now there's the new one called Daxxify.
Yeah, I heard of the first one that you said.
Dysport.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's probably the second most popular, I believe. And I've actually used a lot of these competitor. I know I've used Dysport, Xeomin, and Jeuveau. And I have to say, I mean, no offense to those companies, I prefer the Botox. I mean, part of its brand name I mean, everyone's heard of Botox. And so there is some value to having that brand name, you know, behind a product. And also just personally, I feel like Botox works the best. I think that is up for debate, but just I just feel like Botox works.
I feel like most of the people don't, when they think Botox, they don't think of a brand. They just think of the actual action.
A product, yeah.
The action of
getting. I'm getting Botox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't know that the name of the actual.
I mean, you might be right.
The actual medicine that you're putting into your forehead is Botox.
They think of it more as like an action or a verb.
Yeah, like just like saying, I'm going to go get.
Yeah. I know some people do. Yeah, right. Some people do recognize Botox. Do we occasionally people ask like which Botox do you use? I'm like, we use Botox. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also there's the most research behind it, you know, but Botox has more research behind it showing its effectiveness than anything. And like I said, I just had very, very dependable results with it. And some of the other products, I'm not going to say which ones, but I've had a couple that I just have been not as happy as far as the effects of it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there's a new one called Daxxify. And at first when I saw this new product, I'm like, oh great, another Botox competitor, big whoop. But this one actually is different.
Okay.
There's actually some very interesting things about this that I'm going to look into. I'm not for sure saying I'm going to use it. It's basically the same product. It is a botulinum toxin derivative.
Okay.
But it does have a unique formulation, which gives it some advantages.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's going to be a Botox killer, but it does have some interesting things. So it claims to last 6 to 9 months. That's okay. Pretty good. I mean, when I counsel people about Botox, I say if you've never had Botox, you can expect probably 3 months out of it. But the more you use it, the longer it lasts. And so we do my wife's Botox about twice a year. So, you know, I think you can get close to 6 months out of Botox, but only if you're using it regularly.
Mm-hmm.
This one, this says it lasts 6 to 9 months. Now, that should always be a good thing. I will say that if on the off chance that you got a result you didn't want, like a droopy eyelid or something like that, then you would have to wait longer.
Yeah.
To me, that's really a non-factor because as long as you're going to someone that's skilled.
That shouldn't happen.
It shouldn't happen. I mean, you know, the number of people I have coming back with problems with Botox is 0%.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell my injectors. So now I have injectors working for me. I'm like, look. I get when you're first starting out, you're probably going to have some bumps. But like once you get the hang of this, this is very, very predictable, dependable, and you shouldn't have problems. So that whole thing about, oh, well, it lasting longer is bad to me is not real. They do say it has a quicker onset of action. How many days did it take until you thought your Botox was, at least you could see it was working? This is a great
like
question.
5 days.
About 5 days. Okay. I would say that's maybe a day later. I usually tell people you can start to see it in 3 to 4 days, and it takes about 5 to 6 before it hits full steam. But, I mean, that's kind of right about what you had. With Daxxify, they say it starts to take effect in 2 to 3 days. Okay,
oh.
So it starts to work a little bit quicker. I mean, that's, to me, that's kind of not a huge thing because, like, okay, what's the difference in 1 or 2 days?
Yeah.
Big deal. This one, though, is actually really, really interesting. You can store Daxxify at room temperature. You probably don't know this, but Botox has to be refrigerated.
Okay.
So we have a fridge in our office, and all the Botox lives in the fridge. The problem with having it needing to be refrigerated is if you leave it out and, like, say you mix up a vial and you draw 20 units out of a 100-unit vial and you set it on the counter and then you forget it and you leave it overnight, it's done.
Yeah.
Like, you can literally lose product. And I'm convinced that happens in places out there where someone leaves out the Botox and they're like, well, we're not going to lose $800, and they just use it anyway, and then people get results that are not great.
Mm.
So the ability to keep it at room temperature, I think, is actually pretty beneficial.
Yeah, that's nice.
You know, it's a way to eliminate one variable that can cause problems.
Maybe we'll have more traveling Botoxes.
Right, yeah, and so that's the thing when people...
Botox
and I used to do Botox parties. Back when I started out and I was like a brand new plastic surgeon, man, you'd believe it. I was going to people's houses to do Botox because you'll do anything to drum up business, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to like have your cooler and you have to have the Botox on ice. And,
yeah.
You know, there's always a chance that something happens and your Botox goes bad. So obviously the next big question for me is, okay, well, what's the cost?
Yep.
So it is more expensive than Botox, but... they say it lasts longer. So These are, I think these numbers were from the Daxxify people because they were saying that, oh, if you use Botox, you have to get it 4 times a year. And I'm like, no. I mean, if you're doing Botox regularly, like 2, maybe 2.5. And they're saying $400 per injection, which is about right for a full Botox. So they're saying for Botox, 4 times a year, $400, that's $1,600. With Daxxify, it's $600 per time. So it's 50% more cost. But they're saying you only have to get it twice a year, which would be $1,200. I have a little bit of issue with those numbers because they're kind of shortchanging Botox and how long it lasts, I think, a bit.
Yeah.
So I would say that probably it's a wash, I would guess. I would bet you if you really dig into, you know, if you got both these products over 5 years, how much would it cost if you did Botox, how much would it cost if you get Daxxify, it's probably going to be pretty equal.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that this is going to be a Botox killer. I'm interested in it. Honestly, like, to me, the 6 to 9 months, I mean, that's nice. It's a little, lasts a little longer, but the being able to store it at room temperature is interesting.
Yeah, you know, I think so.
It just eliminates a variable, right? You know, when you're running a business and you have a lot of people dealing with product, I mean, you know, accidents happen. People leave stuff out. And just like a month or two ago, we came into the office one morning and there was a half-used thing of Botox sitting on the counter. Like, okay, well, into the trash it goes. And then you have to figure out, okay, who left out the Botox? And
fired. So, I'm just kidding.
What's that?
I said fired.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, look, you know, we just lost like $500, right? I mean,
yeah.
Is it the end of the world? No, but I mean, we can't do that.
Yeah.
Commonly. But yeah, I am interested in Daxxify. I probably will have my office manager look into it and see if it's something that we maybe would try. Normally when these new products come out, you can do a trial run with it. So I probably will try it, honestly. Check it out.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, why not? I mean, maybe it's better, maybe it's not.
I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are like, oh, a new thing. Let's go do it. Let's try it.
Yeah, you know? Probably. I know a lot of places then, are like that.
Yeah, and then you have a clientele. You probably know exactly some of them. Some of the people that would want to try it. Just because it's new.
Right,
and like,
yeah. See if they like,
they like it better.
Yeah, I'm interested in it because it has, you know, with the other products out there, I never felt like Dysport, Zimin, Jeuveau, I never felt like they were that different.
They were
almost identical. They would say, oh, well, maybe it lasts a tiny bit longer or whatever, but nothing really of note to me. It was just like, oh, you're just a Botox competitor. If it's the same price, why would I?
So you think this one has the possibility of actually competing with Botox?
I do. I think it could. I absolutely think it could compete with it. I do. You know, because it has some advantages that the other Botox knockoffs don't have. So I think it could compete. So I'm going to try it. I'm gonna reach out.
It has a cool name.
What is it? I keep Daxxify. They call it Daxy for short.
Oh,
it
cute.
Has like a short name. Daxy. I don't know if I like that. Daxy.
Dax Shepard.
I don't hate it.
What?
Daxy. Mm. What do you think?
It just reminds me of Dax Shepard.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'll keep you posted. I'll let you know.
Okay.
All right. I think that's all the time we got for this episode of Nip Talk. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please leave us a comment and let us know what you want us to talk about on the next episode. See you next week.
Bye.